Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Family Talk, and I am Dr. James Dobson. And for our program today, I want to take you back a couple of weeks to the National Day of Prayer. That's the 65th Annual National Day of Prayer on May the 5th, 2016, at the Cannon House Office Building at the nation's capital. I think this was the most powerful National Day of Prayer in recent history, as people came not to attend the conference, not to hear a catalog of speakers, but to cry out to God in humility and passion on behalf of our great nation and to bring us back from the brink. My wife Shirley opened the National Day of Prayer with her remarks as chairman, and then by introducing the first speaker, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He is the president of Hope of the World Ministry and senior pastor and messianic rabbi at the Jerusalem Center at Beth Israel in Wayne, New Jersey. I wish you could have been there to hear his opening remarks. In fact, you can see photographs of that morning, and you get a sense for what took place by going to our website. Rabbi Kahn rose in power as he spoke from his heart, and the crowd was deeply moved. I was deeply moved, and I think you will be too. Here is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn from the first morning of the recent National Day of Prayer.
Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is best known, I think, for his two bestsellers, The Harbinger, many of us have read that book, and The Mystery of the Shemitah. And we're so glad to have him here this morning. Would you please give a warm welcome to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn.
Why are we here? 386 years ago, the ship called the Arbella journeyed across the Atlantic Ocean to the New World. Aboard that ship was John Winthrop, who would pen the founding vision of the civilization to be known as America. If we would follow the ways of God, he wrote, then the Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people and will command a blessing upon us in all our ways. He shall make us a praise and glory. For we must consider that we shall be as a city on a hill. America was to be a city on a hill to which the eyes of all people would look. The vision would come true. America would become the most blessed, prosperous, powerful nation the world had ever seen, a city on a hill and a praise and a glory in the earth. In the history of the world, only two civilizations came into existence on the solitary foundation of God's calling and purposes. The first was called Israel. The second was called America. In fact, the founding vision of America was based on the template of ancient Israel. But in the days of her blessing, Israel turned away from the God and his ways, the God of her blessings, drove him out of its government, out of its culture, out of its national life. It celebrated the ways of godlessness. It lifted up its children on the altars of Baal and Molech. And it called what was evil good and what was good evil. So too, America in her blessings has turned from the God of her blessings. The city on the hill that was founded for the purposes of God now drove God out of its government, its culture, and its public squares. The city on the hill that was dedicated to the glory of God now glorified ungodliness and called evil good and good evil. And the city on the hill that was consecrated to be a light to the nations now lifted up its most innocent and helpless and slaughtered them on the altars of self-obsession. And its collective hands were covered with the blood of millions. The city on the hill has grown darkened. It has forgotten the God of its foundation. The temples of its culture have been expunged of his presence and now are filled with idols in his place. It's forgotten the warning of its foundation, the warning embedded in the vision of the city on the hill, for it was also written and prophesied. If our hearts shall turn away, so that we will not obey, but shall be seduced and worship other gods, our pleasures and our profits, and serve them, we shall surely perish. In other words, if we do so, we'll stand at the precipice of judgment. And the city on the hill has also forgotten the warning given by its first president, the prophetic warning given in his first speech on America's first day as a constituted nation. It was said, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." In other words, if America ever disregarded the eternal rules of order and right ordained by God, the blessings of God would be removed from the land. 10 months ago, in this city, named after the one who gave that warning, America disregarded the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself had ordained, as its highest court struck down the very order of God. And the day it did so was a biblical day. It was the ninth of Tammuz, the ancient day of mourning that commemorates the day that a nation's hedge of protection was removed in the approach of judgment. So it must be asked this day, Supreme Court justices, from where did you get the authority to overrule the rulings of the Most High? And by what authority did you strike down the laws of the Eternal? And who gave you the power to annul the word of the Almighty and pass judgment on the judge of all existence? You are neither the highest court or the final authority. There is a supreme judge who wields a supreme justice that will not sleep forever. And Mr. President, did you not lay your hand on the word of God to assume the oath of your presidency? Then how did you take the same hand and enact words and laws that war against the very word on which you swore your oath? And you uttered the words, "So help me God." But on the day that the order of God was struck down, you issued the order to illumine the White House in the colors of the rainbow to celebrate that striking down. Mr. President, by what authority did you take the sacred colors of God's covenant, the colors of his throne, and the colors of his mercy in the face of judgment and turn them against the purposes of God and the word of God on which you swore your oath? Does a president have the power to veto the ordinances of the living God? America now stands at the crossroads, and we are now asked to choose between one who has said, deep-seated religious beliefs must be changed so that the killing of the unborn can increase, and one who says he will make America great again. But America cannot be great without returning to the God of its greatness. Without humility, repentance, and revival, the ambition for greatness will end up as nothing more than a Tower of Babel. Kings may be a judgment on a nation that has turned away from its king. There is a time to stand and a time to fall on our faces. We must stand. But now the time has come to fall on our faces before God. We've come here today because our trust is not in man or woman. We've come here today to seek the power of God. 36 years ago, America stood at a precipice. Its economy was in shambles. It was crippled by an energy crisis and embargo. Its standing around the world was at dangerously low levels. Its enemies were advancing. Its citizens were being held hostage in Iran. And every day, its television sets were filled with images of masses chanting, "Death to America, death to America." And then the nation's military sent a rescue mission that collapsed in the desert. And now the dead bodies of American soldiers were put on display in Iran. It looked as if the sun had set on the American age. But at that same time in history, believers from around the nation were led to gather in Washington, D.C. to pray, to repent and seek the mercy of God on this nation. They came because of one scripture, the promise God gave to Israel, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." So they gathered on the Washington Mall and declared that scripture, "If my people who are called by my name," over and over and over again. And they lifted up two prayers above all, that where America's power had failed, the power of God would release the hostages. And then lifting up their hands to the western side of the Capitol building, they prayed that God would bring into power those of his choosing. It was spring, the spring as it is now before a presidential election. That November, there was a revolution at the polls, and those who ran on a platform of returning God to its biblical foundations were swept into power, and namely a new president, Ronald Reagan, who spoke of the need of a spiritual revival and of America as the city on the hill. That January was the inauguration, and the president-elect switched the site of the inauguration from where it had been for over a century to the western terrace of the Capitol. So he was now standing on the very place to which the believers had pointed their arms and prayed to God to bring to power those whom he willed. He was now facing outward to the Washington Mall, where the believers had prayed and lifted their hands, and from where they prayed to free the hostages. And then, as he was sworn into the presidency, that very hour, the hostages were released. The two prayers answered in the very same moment. And from that moment came a massive change of world history, a national resurgence. America's economic power began to rebound, as did its military power and its standing in the world. Its archenemy, the Soviet Union, began to collapse. America would emerge as the world's only superpower. It would be called mourning in America. But that altering, that transforming of world history began with the prayers of God's people. And that scripture, "If my people who are called by my name." And the moment that that transformation began was when the new president put his hand on the Bible and took the oath of presidency. But what was it on which he placed his hand and on which history changed? He placed his hand on a scripture. The history of the world changed on a scripture. And what was that scripture? It was this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." And that is why we are gathered here today, because God is real, his word is true, and the prayers of his people are stronger than nations, stronger than superpowers, and stronger than history itself. And therein is our hope. And the choice in the end is not between one candidate and another. It is between God and Baal. And we stand here at this critical hour between two altars and two gods. And the voice of the Lord cries out, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve." 70 years ago, the chaplain of the United States Senate cried out to America and said, "If the Lord is God, then serve him. But if Baal, then serve him and go to hell." That word and that warning is all the more critical today. So we have come to Washington, D.C., not to seek the agency of government, but to seek the agency of the Holy Spirit. Not to lobby those who occupy high office, but to plead with him who occupies the office of the Most High. And not to call on the abilities of man, but to invoke the power of the Almighty for revival, for there is no other way but revival. So we commit ourselves now to pray for that revival, and not only to pray for that revival, but by the power of God, to walk in that revival. We have come here because our trust and our hope is not in man, but in God. Specifically, our trust and hope is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses and the God of Elijah, the God of the Red Sea and the God of the Resurrection, the God of the impossible. We have come to the throne of the sovereign, almighty, living God of Israel. And we cry out from this place, "Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on this land. Lift up again your eyes on the city on the hill and have mercy. Let your power be seen again in this nation. Let it fall on the heartland. Let it fall on the coastland. Let it fall on the cities. Let it fall on this capital. Let there be revival in this land. Let the lost be saved. Let the saved be revived. No matter what it takes, let there be revival in the land. For some trust in chariots, some trust in princes, some trust in Supreme Courts, some trust in White Houses, some trust in candidates, and some trust in idols. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, and the name above all names, above all kings, above all powers. We will trust in the only name given by which we must be saved. We will trust in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Judge of all judges, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the foundation stone upon which this nation came into existence, and the only answer, the only chance, the only hope America has, that it might once again become a city on a hill to shine with the light of the fire of the presence of the glory of the living God, and be again a praise and a glory in this earth. So help us God. Amen.
Well, again, that was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn with the call to prayer at the beginning of the National Day of Prayer. And as you could tell, it was deeply stirring to everybody who was there. After Rabbi Kahn shared his passionate words on that morning, people gathered in small groups and began to pray for our nation. And if we had time, we would share that with you today. But there's an important moment that occurred later in that morning. I want to fast forward to the words spoken by my wife, Shirley, who was bringing to a close her 25-year tenure as chair of the National Day of Prayer. Vonette Bright had asked Shirley to accept this responsibility for a year or two, and she accepted it and continued for those 25 years. And Shirley announced later in that morning that she had felt led in recent months to step down from this leadership position. And then she announced to whom she was passing the baton. Here's a portion of Shirley's remarks.
I would like to ask you to read with me the scripture that's up on the screen, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It gives us four keys to healing our land. Let's read it. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. That scripture tells us if we meet four conditions, prayer, which we're doing here today, in a spirit of humility, seeking God's face, and turning from our sins in genuine repentance, then He has promised to heal our land. That is the cry of our hearts today. Wake up, America, before it is too late. And I thank you all for joining all of us today to do just that. Now, I want to turn a corner and share something very personal with you. As many of you know, the late Mrs. Vonette Bright was the National Day of Prayer chairman in 1982 until 1990. She believed God was taking her in a new direction, and she felt she needed to resign. And she asked me to be her successor. Well, I talked to my husband. I began to pray about it because I thought it was just too much of an enormous job with everything we have going on in our life. But the more I prayed about it, the more I felt God's thumb in my back, that He wanted me to take on this responsibility. So I said yes, that I would. I thought, you know, I can do this for 2 or 3 years. Well, I have now held that position for 25 years. I was just a young thing in 1991, and you've seen me age over the years. But today will be my last responsibility as chairman of the National Day of Prayer, because like Vonette, I feel God taking me in a new direction, and I feel the need to step aside and choose a new chairman. And so after much prayer with the National Prayer Committee and discussion, we think we've picked absolutely the best. So our new chairman is going to be Ann Graham Lotz. I love what her daddy says about her, Billy Graham. He says, she's the best preacher in the family. And I would have to agree. I'm just so delighted to be able to pass the baton to Ann. Ann is a woman of prayer, an anointed evangelist, an author of many much-loved books, and the leader of her own organization, Angel Ministries. She has a brand new book coming out, The Daniel Prayer, and believe me, I can't wait to read it. Ann was the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer 2 years ago, and she left an indelible impression on us all. Would you now welcome the new chairman of the National Day of Prayer, Ann Graham Lotz.
Thank you very much. This is a very humbling experience for me. And some people have expressed their enthusiasm and their delight, and I'm just feeling overwhelmed. And Shirley has been a fabulous leader, and Vonette before her. And I just thank the Lord that he's in charge, and I follow him, and this is where he's led me. And I would like to share with you that I've been in ministry for 40 years outside of my home. And some of you will recognize the phrase when I tell you that the Lord has led me for 40 years to test what was in my heart. And I believe as he looks in my heart this morning, he would see two burdens. One is a burden, and I pray the reflections of burdens are on his heart, but one is a burden to get people into God's word, that they might know him in a personal relationship, and they might grow in that relationship and make him known to others. And so for 40 years, I've been giving out God's word. And about 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to me through his word and told me to come home, close the door, and take care of my husband, who was having some health issues. So I did, but I wasn't called out of ministry, and I still felt called to lead people into God's word. And so I turned our website into more of a ministry. I focused on social media and radio and video and writing. And then increasingly, as I spent time at home with my husband and doing those things, the Lord imparted another burden on my heart, as heavy as the burden to get people into God's word, which is a new thing for me, but I feel very burdened to get people on their knees and to pray for our nation. And so in the last few years, my ministry has offered various prayer initiatives. We've drawn tens of thousands of people into prayer just through our small efforts. And I've have a burning in my heart to get people to pray. Anyway, when Shirley Dobson called me and asked me if I would take this position, I wasn't surprised, but I knew I had to have God's word on it. So I set aside a day to pray and fast, just like Daniel. I turned to the Lord, my God, and I prayed with fasting and petition. And the Lord spoke to me through his word and confirmed that this is his will for me at this point in my life. And it's for such a time as this. Can I just tell you, when we look at our nation, and Shirley has described some of the issues, but we look at our nation and it's filled with confusion, and it's filled with anger, and it's filled with frustration, and it's filled with fear. And I'm going to tell you why. We're missing God. And it's time, I believe, for prayer. And I believe God has called me to this position at this particular time to not only free up Shirley for the things he has for her, but to do all that I can to lead people into God's word, because I'm not leaving my ministry. I'm not leaving Angel Ministries. I'm still going to be giving out God's word with all of my heart, but I'm going to couple that with also the challenge to get people on their knees in prayer. And so I'm going to ask you, please, would you stand with me on your knees? And pray that God would enable me to rally his people to humble themselves, to pray, to seek his face, to repent of our sin. And if we do, then I know he will hear our prayer, and I know he will forgive our sin, and I know he will heal our land because he says so. So thank you, and God bless you.
Well, this is James Dobson again, and what you just heard was my wife Shirley as she closed out her 25-year ministry as chairman of the National Day of Prayer, and she passed on the baton to Ann Graham Lotz. I'm very proud of Shirley, who did a wonderful job for the past quarter century, and we're all excited about Ann Graham Lotz's willingness to pick up this burden, because she already had plenty on her shoulders. Let me leave you with this. We've only had three chairmen of the National Day of Prayer. The first, beginning in 1982, was Vonette Bright, and she served for 8 years. Second was Shirley for the last 25 years, and then Ann Graham Lotz for the foreseeable future. Someone said Vonette was the founder, Shirley was the builder, and Ann is the prophet. This is a strong team that the Lord has brought together, and I urge you to continue to support this ministry that the Lord has called them to fulfill. Blessings to you all. Thanks for listening today. And for the next several days, we're going to hear other speakers from the National Day of Prayer a couple of weeks ago.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.